welcome everybody to another exciting episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, and always, you've got Steven Robles. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Hope you you enjoy. I don't know what you were doing last week. It's some secret mission.
It was fun. We went, it was like an anniversary trip. We went down to Savannah in Georgia. We walked around like Forsyth Park and saw a lot of the cool things down there and like the gorgeous like oak trees with the Spanish moss on them and a few other things. It was actually Harrison's like second plane ride, but he loves plane rides and he like loves the takeoff and the landing and he gets so excited. He like shakes with excitement and starts like laughing. The people next to us were like, I'm pretty sure he was the only one on this plane that liked that landing. I was like, little daredevil that we've got
that's
here.
That's awesome. Well, that's fun. Very cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Manager.
All right, well,
we saw the Savannah Bananas. My t-shirt.
Savannah Bananas? Wait a minute. Oh, because it is Georgia. Duh.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, Savannah, Georgia. I always think Georgia is this funny shape because you got the lot of, you know, you got the large part of Georgia. Then you got the little tiny part of Georgia over there on the coast. You know what I mean? So it's a little. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. But listen, you brought the HomeKit news with you because now we have a ton of news we have to get to. Big releases, devices. So let's talk about it. I literally had 1,000 people. Okay, maybe not that many. I had a lot of people send me this Invis outlet. For some reason, my video switcher is not working. So those watching on youtube.com/HomeKit Insider, go to the show notes and watch the chapter art. Have it play. Press play on your podcast player at the same time you press play on YouTube, and in the chapter art, you'll see pictures of everything we're talking about. This is something, it is HomeKit, it is Matter compatible, it is an outlet and a smart outlet like cover, and basically the cover or the board or whatever you want to call it, it has like a motion sensor, an air quality sensor, it has a built-in night light. This is like the smartest outlet you have ever seen. And it is the Invis outlet. And so, I mean, everybody's real excited about it. It looks, it's cool that it has like a motion detector built in and all this other stuff. So, cool. I've not tried it yet. I mean, have you seen this thing? Right?
Yes. The reason I'm sure people sent this to us is because I think they were running Twitter ads because I saw this thing like promoted in Twitter like 50 times before the podcast. I'm like, okay, and I'd never heard of this company before, and here they are, where they're coming out with like their first HomeKit product, and they apparently packed in every sensor under the sun. So, to be honest, I'm still a little skeptical on this, and I don't even think the product exists yet, right? Like, this is still up for pre-order, if I recall.
I'm on the website, and there's like, put your email for an exclusive discount, but there's no like buy now button or anything.
So you even have, which is also, again, weird. So that page that you're looking at, Steven, that we have in our show notes is a little sus. But if you go back to Intecular's website, so we're going to strip out all that stuff.
I don't like
which
that
also,
name.
I missed the I wrong like thing.
Intecular. I don't like that.
But there you can see the outlet. And then it's like promoted. And then it's like a next generation sensing outlet. Then you can reserve it. So you can reserve it. So you put a $1 deposit and you'll be locked in off of the MSRP of
$129.
No. So it's $129, and then if you reserve yours, you can get it for $69.
Yeah, okay, that's a little more reasonable, but I don't know. I mean, this
if you're looking at the cost of a motion sensor, have you seen what the freaking, you know, Eve motion sensors cost? Like, they're not cheap. So if you're getting like a controllable outlet, air quality monitor, and a motion sensor, so you're getting an Eve Energy, you're getting an Eve motion sensor, and you're getting an Eve switch or something, or whatever the third one was I was missing there. Motion, air quality.
It says occupancy too. It says it supposedly does occupancy sensing, so I don't know how it does it. From my experience with the Acara one, I don't know how it's going to do on the floor, you know, because you probably don't have an outlet in the middle of your wall that you're going to use this on. So I don't know how it would do occupancy on the floor.
But. Right. Yeah. And they want you to have, like, obviously, even with like the Acara one, they want you to have like this high mounted spot. It's interesting to see how that'll work. So it does, it's Bluetooth, it's got Wi-Fi, it's got to have Wi-Fi for Matter support, because Bluetooth doesn't work with Matter.
But the promise is that the faceplate, that's what it's called, the faceplate, you'll be able to upgrade the faceplate in the future as new technologies arise. And it's like, I don't know what technologies they're going to build into a faceplate, but that they're trying to say it's future-proof because of that. I'm going to make this a Matter deal. I'll believe it when I see it. When I see this thing in the wild and I see somebody using this, I'll believe when I see it. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's neat, but we'll see.
Are you going to reserve one? Did you reserve one? You put a dollar in?
I did not. I did not. Yeah.
Anyway, it's really cool. Everyone's very excited about it. If it actually becomes a reality, Andrew and I may or may not test it. So there you go. That's our promise. We may or may not test this thing. You have an article in here about there's a way to get a free TV. What is it? I don't know what this is.
I think this is brilliant, and when the companies are upfront about this stuff, I am totally on board. And basically, it's ad-supported hardware is what you're looking at. So this company is selling an ad-supported TV. So you have the TV, there's a soundbar mounted underneath, and then below that is a secondary display that will show additional information. And as you're watching TV, first, they do say they will collect information on the shows that you watch. Cool.
Oh,
and then they will also show an ad in the lower right corner of the secondary display. So you'll have a persistent ad for like whatever you're into, hot dogs. You're going to see ads for hot dogs or whatever it is.
Ballpark
in that TV. So you're getting this, you're getting this whole setup for free. And then, you pay nothing and you just have to deal with ads being shown.
No,
I'm honestly fine with that. When they tell you, the point is like, this is the data we collect. We're open. We want to collect what shows that you're watching, how much you watch, and be able to, you give us like your demographics, like you're in this age group and you're, whatever, here's an ad. I honestly have no problem with that, because that's a lot less sketchy than the data that they collect from some of these third-party apps that people download for free and have no idea how much personal information, geolocation information, all this other stuff that they collect. This I'm fine with. Like, it doesn't have anything personal about you other than your age and, ethnicity, and then showing you an ad. You're just seeing an ad, and I'm okay with that.
Listen. I appreciate the transparency that they're like, yeah, we're going to collect your data. I do not want persistent ads in my house. I don't want special offers all over my house. When I walk into the house, it's like, hey, we saw you stopped by Chick-fil-A on your way home. Here's an ad for a PDQ chicken or whatever. And then also, this thing has a camera because they advertise video calling. So you could do like Zoom calls directly on the TV. No, I'm good. I don't want that camera looking at me, trying to figure out what to advertise to me as I'm sitting in my pajamas watching Doom.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a thing. Like, Steven just sitting there and... Yeah. I don't think that's going to be a thing. Like, the fact that they are so open about it, if they were trying to do something sketchy like that, it would be completely different from the brand. And this is from the people who did Pluto TV, which is the most successful, fast network out there. Those are the free ad-supported streaming...
It's like whatever. Crackle or whatever, right? Wasn't Crackle like a...
Crackle's a thing. That was from Sony. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Pluto TV has been wildly successful and has a ton of content on it. It's been great. So now they're moving into this. And they're also doing a couple other things, too. So that secondary display on the bottom, it can show...
Yeah.
You can customize it and add widgets and other information, which is kind of neat. So you can see, like, follow along with the live sports scores of any teams that you're following that are going on at the same time. You can have weather widgets and all this other stuff that you can
tie. Would you get this? Would you put this in your house? Would you do
that? I think, nicer TVs. If there was a spot that we had this, if I didn't have a spare TV, I would 100% put this like in our basement or something where we have like our entertaining space. Like 100%. I have no problem with it. I like the the widgets and stuff on there, and I don't care about like seeing the ad. We see ads everywhere, but if I have control over the data that I'm sharing, I'm okay with it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you take a free iPhone 15 Pro Max if the lock screen was always an ad?
I don't think so, because there are other ones that do stuff like that, and I don't think I would do that. But the difference is, like, that's your like your lock screen of everything on your phone. You have other information there. This isn't blocking your TV in any way. Like, it's not like if this overlaying a bar at the bottom, that would annoy the heck out of me. You're watching a movie, all of a sudden, like, just slides up and covers part of it and advertises peanut M&Ms and goes back down.
It's a pop-up. Pop-ups on the TV.
Yeah, no. then it's a no. But the fact that they've relegated it to a secondary display, and you have, like, the additional smart widgets, and it's entirely free other than your data, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So I start getting itchy when I think about all the ad stuff. But anyway, okay, let's move on. So you can get a free TV if you want ads in your living room. So the Wiz, this is from GE. They have a new shape light. It's like a dynamic effect neon smart light. It's a Wi-Fi, but is this matter?
Or
is
this? I don't believe these are matter. If I remember correctly, I think we saw these at CES, but these are the ones that you can shape into all sorts of stuff, which is really cool. They're like rope lights that are like flexible and bend into shapes and everything, but they didn't want to do matter because they can do different parts of the light, different colors and gradients and stuff, and matter doesn't support that. So that's why they didn't go with a matter route for these, but they're like, they're very neat looking, and especially for like a kid's room when you can, like, they show them like shaped into stars and dinosaurs and I'm pretty sure like it's like a flamingo in that one picture, like all sorts of cool things that you can shape them as. I think they're a really neat idea. But yeah, they're full of different colors, which isn't natively supported on really any platform.
Right, right, for sure. All right, well, they look cool. Link in the show notes to that. This thing is cool. Netatmo, they now have a new smart AC controller, which is basically like an IR blaster. You know, this is like a really nice IR blaster to be able to control air conditioning units. It also has a built-in temperature and humidity sensor. So it does kind of have that kind of, you know, you can maybe build automations on that or whatever, but It's a fancy IR blaster. That's what.
If you have an AC unit, like my grandparents have these, and like, you know, they're mounted up on the wall, and you use a little remote to control them, this can replace that and bring you native HomeKit control plus those additional sensors. And honestly, it looks pretty nice. I mean, Netatmo makes exceptional hardware, and I mean, for an IR blaster, it looks nice and sleek, and you tuck this somewhere, and boom, HomeKit control of your AC units. First new product from Netatmo in a while.
No, I mean, I bought their weather station, and, you know, that's a little spotty. But anyway, I've had a lot of people actually write to me because of the Netatmo weather station, and they're like, yeah, I get CO2 warnings. Like, I've been getting CO2 warnings saying, like, my house has elevated CO2. Some people have reported that also, especially when there's, like, cooking going on, and if the indoor weather station is, like, near the kitchen, and that is the case for me. So, anyway, yeah, Netatmo, they make stuff. But if you need an IR blaster, a fancy IR blaster, you can do it. You can do it. Now, I'm so excited for this next piece of news, but I'm gonna put one of our new friends, our new sponsors, actually, right before it. So you're going to have to wait on bated breath because I'm very excited about this next piece of news. But we have a new sponsor this week, and this is very apropos for Andrew and I because we both have pets. We both have dogs. This is Nom Nom. Nom Nom is like a brand. Nom Nom is high-quality dog food. And listen, your pet, it's basically a member of your family, so don't feed them like they're in the doghouse. That's their pun. You like that. You know what I mean? Andrew, don't feed your dog. How many dogs do you have, Andrew?
We have two. We have two right now.
18, right. Andrew has 18 dogs. And so, you know, it's hard to find food. So listen, Nom Nom delivers fresh dog food with every portion personalized to your dog's needs so you can bring out their best. You tell them the size of your dog, your breed, and they send you special bespoke food. It's made with real whole food, so you can see and recognize without any additives or fillers that contribute to bloating, and low energy. Exactly. That's because Nom Nom uses the latest science and insights to make real good food for dogs. And I have to say, we used to get a dog food for my dog at like a, it was kind of a large like pet store, but it was kind of like a individual owned. It wasn't a chain. And they stopped carrying that pet food, the dog food. And I went to one of like the chain pet food places and I had no idea what to get. Like, I am not an expert.
Options. They all claim to be the best.
They're all saying, you know, we're the best or whatever. And they're all the bags, it's just so hard. It was so hard to find one. I talked to some random dude. He said he worked there. I don't even know, but he was pretty shady. Listen, don't do that. Don't do that. It's very confusing. Just go with Nom Nom because then you can know you're feeding your dog excellent food, high quality food. They're not going to bloat. You know what I mean? No bloating. So Nom Nom. I'm sorry. I was just having fun saying that. Nom Nom comes with a money-back guarantee, and if your dog's tail isn't wagging within 30 days, Nom Nom will refund your first order. I'm not sure how they prove that. I don't know if you have to take a video of your dog and see if there's a tail.
Record your dog's butt to confirm.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. No fillers, no nonsense, just Nom Nom. So go right now for 50% off. That's half off your no-risk two-week trial at trynom.com. That's a good rhyme. /HomeKit. Trynom, NOM.com/HomeKit for 50% off. Trynom.com/HomeKit. That's pretty memorable. That's pretty good. Thanks, Nom Nom.
I think it's worth it just to say the name, to be honest.
Just say the name. Trynom. Yeah. Trynom.com. That's what you got to do.
Faith, did you order the Nom Nom? Yeah, I ordered the Nom Nom. Dope.
Did you try Nom? Trynom.com/HomeKit. Okay. Oh, so excited. Andrew, finally. This is a capital italics bold. Finally, Eve has upgraded the flare. I have one right behind me. You can see the flare in the video. It's the circle right behind me. They've upgraded the flare with thread. I mean, it basically looks the same, and it, you know, it's pretty much the same. But it now has thread, and you can get it on Amazon for $99. And they also have a controller, which I'm very curious about, a shutter switch, which I guess is just a controller for shutters. But anyway, I'm excited about the flare with thread. So that's pretty cool. Did you get one of these? Do you have one of those like lurking around?
It didn't arrive yet. So it'll be here any minute, but these are actually available to order. The shutter switch is only available in the EU. So only be excited if you're in select EU markets for that product. But okay, Steven, honest time.
Yes.
Are you like a honest little time. Disappointed, little bit that they changed nothing else about the flare? Like they didn't like... They didn't add a little brightness, extend the battery life by a hair, like anything.
Yeah, I agree because honestly, this flare, you know, it's a little slow to respond. And, you know, I'll change my HomeKit scenes and different colors and it'll take a few seconds, but also it's fine. That's fine. I'm fine with that. Like, watch, I'm going to change. Like, you can't. Well, you'll see it in the full video because I'll do the full widescreen, but I'm going to press a color. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4. Okay, just changed. So like 3.5, 4 seconds. Yeah, 3.5 seconds. And I mean, okay, cut it down to 2 seconds. I don't know if I'm going to spend $100 just to like save a couple seconds every time it changes color. Like it's not that big of a deal. But if you don't have a flare and you want something that's portable, battery powered, cool looking, take it out on the patio with you. Now you can get it with thread. I mean, it's cool. But if you already have one, I don't feel like a need.
It's not like an upgradable change, but it's like a welcome change. I think it's going to be faster than 2 seconds. I think it's going to be very quick because you don't have to establish a Bluetooth connection each time. I think it's going to be much quicker. It's going to have enhanced reliability and more range. All that I think is going to be great. It's still portable. IP65 water resistance, still the same. 6-hour battery life. Comes with a little wireless charging pad that you set it on. Uses Pogo pins. Yeah. Everything about it is great. I just wish maybe they'd like got a little more brighter or a little longer battery life. I just feel like the original one's been out for so long. Technology has to have had advanced a little bit. That instead all I had to do was upgrade the wireless chip inside for a new version. So I don't want to be a down naysayer or a Debbie Downer because I am very excited about this. We have been asking for a long time because I want to get a second flare. I definitely want to put one in like Harrison's room because it's such a pretty light and it's such a nice soft glow to it and everything. I really like them. Nice. But I thought there'd be like any other change.
Something. So if you don't have a flare or if you've wanted to get one or a second one, like now's a great time. It has thread. Get the thread version. But yeah, I mean, I'm good. Yeah, I still love it. I mean, I love it. It's in the background all the time. So new e-flare.
Both products, by the way, getting Matter upgrades through software updates in later. They didn't give a time frame, but in the future.
I'm not doing it. Not upgrading into Matter. I have no reason to. So I'm not doing it. Not. Can't do it. Can't make me do it. Not doing it. Now, in this next piece of news, Ring founder leaves. I didn't even know this. So the Ring founder, he left. What is he mad? Is he mad about something?
Yeah, we can. Oh, shoot. I didn't even copy that. I got all distracted as we were setting up the show for the day because we had some other Amazon news, but, you know, Ring owned by Amazon. So there's a tie in there. But so the Ring founder, Jamie Siminoff, is leaving. Amazon, it's leaving Ring. So I guess actually the full story is I put a joke that my joke was that he was probably just mad about the HomeKit delay, so he just left. I don't think that's what it was. I guess he set up a secondary company called Hard Day Working or something like that about 6 months ago.
Fling?
Nope.
Called Fling.
And Ring, he got bought up. That company that he started, called like Hard Day Working, I think, that was purchased by a company called Latch. So now he is leaving Amazon to join Latch as their new CEO. Latch, which is a company I'm immediately suspicious of based on their company, what it does, and that I would hate it. They create like smart home stuff that allows in like apartment buildings. It allows the management to have like control over like the locks and smart home products that it installs in the apartments. And like, see, that's what I'm like, I don't like that. I'll give you like that physical key even, but like, I don't want you to have like remote control necessarily. I don't know. But yeah, so that's what Latch does.
I let somebody, No, give me the TV with ads before someone can control my smart home stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know. They have like actual like their door hardware that they sell to apartment buildings. But I guess there's even a bunch of issues with that and complaints from tenants and things. So I don't know. Yeah. But so little Ring news, which then pivots to our other Amazon news, which is that there are new Echo devices that have just launched. So we have a new, the big one is like the Echo Pop. Yeah, it's cheap. It's affordable. It's like $40. It uses like recycled materials. It's got a really cool look to it. You know, honestly, I like the look of it. It's like a circle facing forward, like a cone with like the top of it sliced off. The sweet thing here is that it has a built-in EuroTech, so it can extend your Euro mesh network by up to 1,000 feet. So $40 range extender for your Euro network. I'm curious at more like the specs about that, but I like that a lot to improve your Wi-Fi networks. We got a new Echo Show 5. It's of course got the Amazon Assistant in there. Smart display. Just makes me pissed off that Apple, frankly, doesn't have one still. There's also the new.
Did you see real quick? We talked about it last week. You weren't here, but the Google little the Pixel tablet stand where you can like charge the tablet. Do you want one of those for like what Apple?
Yeah, I could do it.
Do you want like a little stand? I would like that. I feel like that would
something
be the
something
something a little iPad mini stand. Anyway, that's a question. They have an Echo Show Kids. Yep. It's all starry. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, the background looks really pretty. Then we got new Echo Buds, again, super affordable, built-in Amazon Assistant. Apparently, translucent design, is that a thing, or is that just like these images?
It's a thing now. There's so many products that are translucent. Like, this was a like late 90s, early 2000s trend as well. Mm-hmm. The Nintendo 64, that was clear, and Game Boys were like clear and stuff, so it was pretty fun.
Yeah, so some new Echo devices. All these guys, some more Matter and things like that. So that's the thing. If you had something like the new eFlare that gets Matter, you can control that eFlare from something like your Echo Show. So if you want that smart display, honestly, dude, I am so bummed that Apple doesn't have something like this because it's such a missed market, and it really, really, really makes me, I don't know about you, but it makes me want one of these things for like Harrison, and your kids are older, but it's got all those, like, it can tell, it has like jokes and kid responses and all these things built into that kid's version of the Echo Show. And like, why isn't there even anything?
I wish even with my kids' age, like if there could just be a smart display where they can tap something and it begins playing their playlist on a specific HomePod, it would like cut down on 90% of the noise pollution in my house, because they could just tap a thing and not have to try five times to get Siri to play a specific playlist, because it does take that many times. Like, Siri just doesn't understand. So yes, I would love a smart display, put some controls on there. I'm hoping so. Maybe.
Maybe
we'll see. Apple.
So we went over to our neighbor's house and we were going to go like, drink and play some euchre, and we took Harrison over, and we've been taking like, we'll just take over his pack and play. more on that in a moment. We took over his pack and play. We popped it open. We threw him in there, and we turned on some white noise. So we have normally like a portable.
You didn't throw.
It was like a gentle lob. Okay. It was just a gentle, be clear. Gentle lob of the baby.
Yeah. All gentle.
Anyway, so we put him in there, and we have a portable like white noise thing. I've used like dark noise on like my iPads before, but we also have like a little portable battery powered one that will just stick with him. And we had forgotten it because we just got back from Savannah. So they go to play white noise on their Amazon, their Echo. She asks. She just says, you know, Amazon Assistant's name. Play white noise.
Sure.
Amazon Assistant read a 30-second ad spot about why they should upgrade to the premium version of white noise that has higher audio fidelity and customers really like it. Literally. This is the TV with ads.
This is a TV with ads. I don't want it. No.
Yeah, but it's okay. The TV with ad isn't like playing before your TV show or something. Like this was literally we're sitting there like.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to get the baby to sleep, and you're reading me a 30-second ad spot. And then it's like, would you like to sign up for a free trial, and then it'll charge you $1.99 a month or something, like, for premium white noise? Man, that was, like, that was the hardest pass I've ever had, like, a smart speaker. So, like, stuff like that kind of grounds me in reality. But looking specifically at, like, the Echo Show kids, like, what were they touting that we had in there? So, space design, comprehensive parental controls, has entertaining jokes, age-appropriate responses, homework assistant, automatic lyric filtering. Like, things like that are really nice to have. And I just, it just drives me crazy that Apple has nothing.
Yeah, they have nothing. I just want to say, hearing you say Euchre, my heart jumped because I'm a huge Euchre fan, and it's not, no one knows how to play it in Florida. Like, I don't know if anybody knows what Euchre is. And so I just want to say, I love Euchre, played it all the time when I was in high school. So, we should play sometime. I don't know if there's any virtual Euchre apps, but yes. Yes to Euchre.
Oh, we've always Euchre played Euchre. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Maybe just because of the age of the general Florida residents. Maybe bridge is more of a popular thing down there. I don't know.
Solitaire is the game.
I'm pretty sure my grandma is like globally ranked in solitaire. She has an iPad, and the sole thing she uses it for is playing solitaire. And my grandpa's like, she is like legit like ranked globally. For her score, because she just does that, you know. She's that's
amazing.
Yeah, that's it.
See, my grandma, she lived with us when I was in high school because she was getting up there in age. But she would play solitaire manually, like she literally deck of cards.
Well, sure, that's where my grandma did it. But then they started taking when she started, you know, going to restaurants and stuff. It was or in the car because we drive up to like, you know, Michigan every year for trips and everything. So it was easier for her to play like in the car and stuff like that on her iPad. So,
yeah,
that's the only thing she uses it for. That's funny. And Siri. She'll use Siri to call people like on her phone.
There you go.
But yeah, solitaire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, Wemo, one of their older smart plugs, which is the Wemo Switch version 2, there was a vulnerability discovered. And there's an article in here that talks about it, but basically they were able to reverse engineer something about the name of the device, get into the network, and then actually remotely control this device. So it's vulnerable, but because this device is end of life, Wemo was like, meh, kind of like how they are about Matter. They're like, meh, we don't sell this product anymore. So yeah, but if you have one of these older Wemo plugs, this was like multiple years ago. This was like the long plug with like a round power button on the front. Like it was that version Wemo plug, which I don't have any more of these. I upgraded to their Thread versions, which they have a Thread plug. But this one has a vulnerability, so you might want to think about maybe upgrading.
But on top of that, Steven, I think it's also important to point out for our audience, as far as I can tell, based on whatever Sternum has written here, because they don't go into super details on it, they were like the security firm that pulled up this vulnerability. And from my understanding, based on reading this, is it looks like there's that vulnerability when set up like through like the Wemo app, but just using straight, you know, HomeKit, this doesn't exist, I don't believe. Because they're doing something injecting like the name, which you can expand, be like in the Wemo app, there's like a character limit on the name, but it's not hard coded onto the like the device firmware. So like if you were able to get access to the device, you could rename it, which caused it to go into this loop, which was then able to exploit and then remotely control it. So if you're not setting this up through the Wemo app and you're just going through, you know, native HomeKit, I don't think this is an issue regardless.
Okay. Well, there you go. So we'll put that article if you guys want to read on that. Now this next topic you put in here, birds, not Alfred Hitchcock. This is not that kind of birds. This is what is it? It's like a camera remote bird feeder on Kickstarter. When I first went to it, their goal was pledging $100,000 for this bird feeder thing. They've raised over $2 million for this bird feeder with a camera. Why do we have this in here? What is it? Is this matter?
No,
is this
a matter bird? It's not right now. It's just a camera. Maybe if they add cameras to matter, maybe we're gonna see it there. But I just think this is really, really cool. So I'm actually reviewing the original Bird Buddy, which is a standard bird feeder with a camera. But they made this thing like entirely modular. You can add things like an extended battery pack into the back of it. You can add a solar panel to the roof to let it run indefinitely. And now they have two new models that they're adding to their lineup. Like the original one has been insanely successful and broke all these records, I believe. And then this new one, there's two new models. There's a hummingbird feeder, which similar thing, cameras in the front, modular, hummingbirds can go in the front and it can capture them on camera. Then they have a bird bath, which they've launched. So you can watch birds taking baths and they use like AI to help you identify the birds that are popping into your yard. Cool. Birding is a whole big thing. And now you have stuff like this is just really cool. You can get smart alerts. That's cool. Like you have a visitor, tap here to like take a peek. It'll identify the birds you've got. I think this is really neat. They've won all these like CS and other awards, South by Southwest awards, best of Kickstarter, honoree for digital image and photography, smart home software, mobile apps. It's sweet. There's new ones. And that's it. It's cool.
All right. That's cool. Bird feeder, smart bird feeder. And last thing before we get into some personal projects, you had a Dub News Roundup video. What are you excited for that? What's in it?
So yeah, we have a 15-minute video up covering all of the software rumors coming out of Dub this year. So we've got stuff on iOS, tvOS, HomePod, macOS, watchOS, like the whole thing. There's a little bit of like just general smart home stuff that we've heard. Not a ton of specifics on like the HomeKit front. But for anyone who was just curious on what's kind of going into Dub as we get a lot closer, that video is now live.
All right. Very cool. That video is in the show notes. We got some personal projects we're going to talk about. But before we do, I'm going to thank our second and final sponsor. You know them, our good friends at Collide. Collide has the big news. You know what I'm talking about. If you're an Okta user, they get your entire fleet to 100% compliance. And many listeners told me what Okta was. It's that single sign-on. It's a part of it. So I'm just glad I know what it is.
Now you know what it is now. The word
Okta, I know what it is. So there you go. So how does Collide do it? Well, if a device isn't compliant, that user can't log in to your cloud apps until they fix the problem. It's that simple. Collide patches one of the major holes in zero trust architecture, which is device compliance. And that's it. Without Collide, IT struggles to solve basic problems like keeping everyone's OS and browser up to date. People don't like doing those software updates. But unsecured devices, they're logging into your company's apps because there's nothing there to stop them. Well, Collide, the only device trust solution that enforces compliance as part of authentication, and it's built to work seamlessly with Okta. I know what that is. The moment Collide's agent detects a problem, it alerts the user, gives them instructions to fix it. And if they don't fix the problem within a set time, boom, they're blocked. Collide's method means fewer support tickets, less frustration, and most importantly, 100% fleet compliance. So visit collide.com/homekit. To learn more or book a demo, that's KOLIDE.com/HomeKit. Link is in the show notes. You could try it there as well. Our thanks to Collide sponsoring this episode. Now some quick personal projects. Dad hack. What are you hacking?
Dad? Yeah, I found that. See, I have to send you the pictures so you can understand. I am proud of this. My wife rolled her eyes, but I'm proud of this. So you know pack and plays, right, Steven? They fold up into like a long square rectangle and you, boom, pop them out and you got a portable playpen for your little one. Okay?
You lob yes, your child.
Gently in, lob them as in. You said before. So this is, I'm sending you pictures to you. Like that's the, you know, that's your pack and play. Standard pack and play. Okay. Here's a fun fact. They are right. perfectly suited yep. for liquor storage. This is true. This is true, Steven. Before you close it up, before you close what? It up, like you put the outside uh-huh. on it, each of the ends, you just slide yeah. your bottle of liquor in, slide it in. So you're traveling with your kid and you go to like a distillery or something like, wow, this is some great whiskey. I'm into this. You can buy your bottle wow. and you just tuck wow. it, boom, into both ends, fold it up around, cinch it up nice and tight. You've got perfectly cushioned bottles of liquor that you can put in your checked luggage and bring right home. Fantastic dad hack right there. I don't know if you wow. ever travel. Wow. We this travel a lot day. And we do go to a lot of distilleries yeah. and it actually is like a struggle. Like, okay, how do we get this bottle back? Cause you can't bring in your carry on. So you have to check it and like you don't want something to happen to your liquor bottles.
Well, I'm curious what your solution will be once your child grows out of pack and plays, but this is excellent. I almost wonder if this would also work for cruise ships. Cause I know a lot of times people try to like take out, you know, liquor on cruise ships and you know, the whole, how to get it through, whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, this is an interesting idea. This is curious. So, all right, Ocean's 11, Danny Ocean, you're over there hacking liquor bottles.
I mean, look at it. They fit perfectly in. It's
great.
It's like that's it was designed thing. For it. I got it. Like, it's perfect.
That's exactly what the pack and play was. Pack and play was designed by dads trying to sneak in, but they can't put it in the instructions because they don't want everybody to know this is what it's for. This is it's a big secret amongst pack and play creators. Anyway, dad hack. All right, very cool. I like it. I know you got something with yeah. Lomi. I feel like we've heard it. We've talked
we
about
have, Steven. We talked about this before. So this is like your countertop composter that, yes, we played Lomi versus Chicken, where we decided what could go into a chicken and what could go into the Lomi. And
oh, that's right, we did.
And play. Don't you remember that popular game show? Everyone's yeah. been clamoring for it.
I do.
But no, so as we're getting into the gardening season, I'm starting to get some, trying to get some soil. We got a lot of plants that were going out. And I just did we've been trying to convert some of our stuff into really usable soil. And I wanted to give a really good before and after of what this looked like. So I just sent you again more pics, Steven. First one, we have literally a plastic bag. It's a biodegradable plastic bag, but a plastic bag. Some very old broccoli cheese noodle soup. Some stale rice. We got some carrots that grew new eyes on carrots. I don't know. We got some apples. We got some lettuce leaves that were going bad. We have coffee grounds and a bunch of plant trimmings from all the plants in our kitchen, in our living room. All that I just dumped right in there, and eggshells, if I didn't say that. So all that went into the Lomi. So you got a good idea what those looked like, Steven? Less than maybe 12 hours or something later. Look at this. It is.
Wait.
That's oh, wow. that's it. Like 12 hours later or something. With the longer mode, there's wow. a short mode that's like 4 hours or something, or 2 hours, 4 hours. But I did like the one that's made for plants. Like there's a plant specific mode to get you the best soil. And that's what that looked like after that cycle. And I was shocked. I was a little like, I'm like, I don't know what's going to be in here, to be honest, when I open it up. But
right. yeah, walk out.
It looks, it feels like super light peat moss, full of nutrients and stuff for your plants. I am so excited. So I got to do this some more and play around with it. But when we talked about last time, I didn't really give a before and after. I know it had been such a long time, but I was like holding off because I wanted to use it for the garden. And that was like the first like plant soil mode that I've run. And I was shocked at what went in there and what came out.
Wow. That's pretty slick. And then you could just throw that in the
yeah, wherever you're in your pots stuff, and your right along the top of your plants. I mean, I gotta be honest, how many people are actually putting like fertilizer okay. stuff on their indoor pot of plants? And that soil has got to be kind of depleting in nutrients. So something like this can easily help top those off. It looks like a good like fresh soil to put on top. It was so cool.
Wow, look at that. Okay, I'm down. I'm down with the Lomi. That's fun. I'll kind of interject something here before we get to another one of your mini reviews. I actually was sent the D-Bot robot vacuum and mop, the D-Bot X1 Omni. They're like, it's one of their newer ones. Mm-hmm. Do you have one of these, the X1 Omni?
I've got the X1 Omni okay. here. We have the T10 Omni here. I'm finishing up the T10 okay. review, which should be up in a a week or so. It's been sitting in our entranceway for a while, and I got to finish that one up.
So I got one of these. I set it up. You know, the dirt comparison I can do is the Roborock S7 Max V Ultra. I know the S8 Pro Ultra is out there. I know what some of the changes are there. The X1 Omni, it's pretty cool. It does the heat drying for the mop pads like the S8 Pro Ultra from Roborock, which is cool. The X1 Omni is also more inexpensive than the Roborock. It's like several hundred dollars cheaper than the S8 Pro Ultra. It's about $500 cheaper. But here's the thing, two differences. The S8 Pro Ultra, that's got like the two roller things underneath for vacuuming, where this one still just has one. But the D-Bot X1 Omni has two little brush circles, the windmills that go on the corners. Even the S8 Pro Ultra only has one. The X1 Omni has two. So it actually has two windmill brushes on either. There's one on either side to kind of help with some of that corner stuff. But there's one part that's really unfortunate. Before I get to that, I do love the bins, like the water, dirty water and clean water bins for the D-Bot. I like how they're much larger. They hold more and they're easy to open. The clean water one has a little like rubber gasket, so you can just pour the water right in there so you don't have to open up the whole lid. I like the design of the D-Bot. A lot of nice stuff. The mops on the D-Bot X1 Omni. It is two circle mops that spin, which I thought was really cool at first. I was, you know, the Roborock mop, it's a pad and it drags along the floor as the Roborock moves. And so I was like, okay, spinning mops, that feels like, you know, it's cleaning more, you know, it's spinning and stuff. But I noticed as I was running it around my living room, it would not go on the rug. It would not like go up on the rug at all. And I was like, okay, I don't know if that's something wrong with it. Or I don't know what's up with that. So I started reading the instructions, and when it is in mopping mode, it won't do carpets and rugs. And I was like, that's unfortunate, because the Roborock, the S7 Max V Ultra that I have, and the S8 Pro Ultra, what it does is when it detects a carpet or rug, the little mop in the back raises, and then it vacuums the carpet or rug, and then when it gets off the carpet or rug, the little mop lowers and drags along the ground again. Well, the D-Bot Omni X1, the mops don't raise. And so if it's in mopping mode, it won't vacuum a rug or carpet. It'll just avoid it. And then there's not a way to turn off the mopping function without taking off the mops. The only way you turn off or make it not mop so it will actually vacuum rugs and carpets is to physically remove the circle mops from the bottom of the robot, and then it will vacuum. Where it'll do the whole vacuuming, but then it won't mop. So it'll mop and vacuum if you don't have any rugs or carpets, but it's not going to do both. It's not going to mop and then just stop mopping and vacuum. Like it, you have to either mop and vacuum or just vacuum. And you can just mop, but basically you can't run it once and have it clean all of your surfaces, carpet and rugs. And as I slowly came to this realization, I was like, man, it really stinks, because I do love the circle spinning mop thing, but it really stinks that it can't just do everything at once like the Roborock. So I'm going to do some more testing, see how it compares as far as like suction with at least the S7 Max V Ultra. But I was really disappointed with that one feature. I was like,
yeah, I feel like the one benefit you can get from that, though, is that it forces you to actually clean your mops, like give them a good cleaning. Like you're for like, okay, we're just going to vacuum. Take sure. Those suckers off and throw them in the, you know, the wash, and then reconnect them again. Because even like on the Roborocks, I still take off those pads every once in a while and throw them through the wash. Because even though they do like that cleaning down there, I feel like it still has got to build up. Sure.
Oh, it does. Have you ever cleaned the actual? Have you ever cleaned the surface that's on the dock that like rubs against it?
I mean, yeah, it's not clean. Nasty? I mean, it definitely collects things, right?
Yeah. It was gross. It was gross. I cleaned that thing on my Roborock. I was like, there's like living things. Like,
I think that just
here.
Poked this me. Is like I think it just a whole ecosystem. I think it fought back when I tried to remove it.
I think her eyes it's looking at me. I was like, this is weird. So anyway, I'll do some more testing. I like it. Just that one thing was the only thing that was kind of weird. And it's unfortunate you can't just like tell it not to mop, but leave the mops on. You know, like just
because I think it's because they're still dragging on the ground, right? Because they don't lift or anything. So even if they were off, they would still be
correct.
They would still be like contaminating your carpets and your rugs. So like, I understand the point because they don't lift.
Right. I get it. Yeah, I just wish they built it so they could lift. Because the Robo Rocket just goes meep, you know, lift. So anyway, so that's the debot. We're going to talk about it more in depth as you review it. But last but not least, you have a little mini review Matrix system. Is this like a Neo and Morpheus thing, or what is this Matrix system?
It's not.
Okay.
This is really cool, though. So just to be upfront with everybody, they actually sponsored a video review. We'd done a text review. They did a video review. So they did pay for that. They're not paying for this, but we like to do like these mini reviews, and I think this is a really smart idea. So this is from Alogic. They make a lot of like docks and cool things, but this is their Matrix like MagSafe compatible charging system. So it's all these different pieces that all work together. And the basic part is this piece here just slides out. This comes right off and you can take this with you for like a mobile charger. You come back, slide it in. You got this all docked. This is a 3-in-1 dock. So you got a AirPods spot on the back and an Apple Watch puck on the side. Apple Watch puck too comes right out. You can take this, plug into your iPad and charge from your iPad, plug from your Mac, plug into an outlet, whatever, or keep it connected here for the 3-in-1 setup. But they actually have a battery that can go in here. So you can be sitting here charging, like on your desk or your nightstand, and you're not charged enough, boom, you pull it out and just take it with you and take it on the go. And my favorite is the car charger.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Because how many times, this happens to me all the time, I do a lot of short trips. Right, like I'm just going to like the grocery store or something, and it's like a few minutes away. Sure. That's not enough time to get your like phone like adequately charged if you were starting on a suboptimal level. But with this, you're in the car, you charge, and then you just take out the battery pack and take it with you and keep charging while you're in the store.
That's pretty
smart. So for the U.S. market, they have a vent mount, and it's pretty sweet. It like there's like a little claw that extends out. And it grabs your blades from the back. If you did go watch that sponsored video, there's like a shot where like I grab it and I wiggle it, and it is so strong. If you tighten it down, that thing's not going anywhere. So a really solid vent mount, but I know a lot of people don't like the vent mounts. I think they might, this is like, probably shouldn't say, but I think they might have like a dash mount or window mount coming in the future. So that would be really handy as well. But I just think these are sweet. So like the basic 3-in-1, I think is like $129 for this setup, and it includes like an Apple certified Apple Watch charger and all of this. Then they have like the battery pack that you can buy by itself. You can also buy like the Apple Watch dongle by itself. There's a 2-in-1 version without the USB output on the side. Then there's the car charger. So several different parts in the ecosystem now, and I think it's going to expand. The only downside for me, you know, keeping things honest, even if they paid us for that review, these are only Qi. They're not MagSafe. So they're MagSafe compatible, but they're only Qi. So 7.5 watts of charging. But honestly, compared to others, I think they make up for it because you can take it with you. Like if it was slow charging and then like that was it, it's a pretty big ding. But when you can just bring it with you, then like the speed doesn't matter as much. And there's pogo pins on the bottom. So your battery pack then always charged. I don't know how often you charge like your Apple MagSafe one or anything, Steven. Like I don't even have like lightning cables around. So it's like dead most of the time. Yeah, so this is just your battery packs are always charged. So if you leave and you need to take extra battery with you, you just pull it right out. So I thought this was a brilliant system. I thought this was really cool. So I was glad they wanted to work with it a little bit more, but I thought it was really neat.
That is pretty cool. I'll give them credit on that. That's pretty slick. I like it. All right, whew. Andrew, man, we just covered a lot of stuff, man. That was a lot of stuff. I know I had a couple listener things that have been just carrying over, and so we will get to them soon. Keep sending them in questions, projects you got going on. Had people from other countries send me stuff. Zigger Dog was talking, asked questions about Lutron. We'll get to it. Promise. We just had so much stuff today. So you can reach Andrew and myself. Those links are in the show notes. Also, our sponsor links are there. And of course, you can watch at youtube.com/HomeKit Insider. You can see the little air conditioner vent thing that Andrew just showed off. And if you're listening, look for the chapter art because you'll see Andrew's liquor in his packing plate. So there you go.
Some good liquor.
Thanks for tuning in.
See you guys.
We'll catch you next time. Yeah, there you go.